Wow, what a blessing that was to hear from our brothers from Ukraine. I feel like the message to us has been preached, and I'm not sure that I need to say much more, but you're right, Dave, I didn't know about the time, but I noticed that you don't mind being late. It started late, so you won't mind at all if it goes a little over, right? Why don't we stand, pray together? Our Father, we come to you at this time, Lord Jesus. We thank you for being with us today. Thank you for what we just heard, Lord, the challenge to be helpers in your kingdom. For the furtherance of your kingdom, Lord, I pray that you'd bless our brothers. Bless our brothers. He goes back to Ukraine, Lord. We just thank you for them and thank you for the work you're doing. And I ask, Lord, that you would just help us at this time about the concerning the old life versus the new. I don't know if you need a title for it, but you can title it whatever you want afterwards. But what is God's purpose for you here on earth as an individual and also as a church body? This message is for the individual heart, but it is also for the body of Christ, the church, specifically a local body, a local church. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 10, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." I'm convinced this morning that the battle of the Christian life, the battle in the Christian heart, is for this life that Jesus came to give us. The battle is between life and death. The battle is for between the things that bring life and the things that bring death. And the war of all of hell, Satan and his demons, against the Almighty God is for this life, the life that we possess as believers, the very life of God. And you know, the only thing that the devil really hates is this life. And he works in the individual to try to hinder the life of God from flowing. Jesus said that the prophecy of Christ is that there will be rivers of living water flowing through you. That's a promise. And if you've been born again, then that has happened in your life. Rivers of living water. You could use that for a church name. I had to think of that this morning as I pulled up. Wow, what a name for a church. The purpose for the church, for God, God's purpose for his church here on earth is for a body that he can live in, that he can dwell. God has always wanted to live with his people or among his people. He always wanted to dwell with his people. Think about the Israelites and the Ark of the Covenant, where the presence of God was carried with them in the Ark of the Covenant. And then later, we read about his temple, where the presence of God dwelled with his people in the holiest of holies. David said in Psalm 27, he said, "One thing have I desired of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." What was David saying? Was he saying, "I just want to be in church full time"? Kind of. But what he was really saying, I believe, is that I want to dwell in the presence of the Lord. Where God is, that's where I want to be. Is there any wonder that God said, "This is a man after mine own heart"? God has always wanted to dwell with his people. In Exodus, just a verse or two, it says, "And I will dwell among the children of Israel and will be their God. And they shall know that I am the Lord their God that brought them out of the land of Egypt, that I may dwell among them. I am the Lord their God. I am the Lord their God." This is from the old covenant, but what about the new? What about today? What about now? In Hebrews 8, if you want to turn to Hebrews 8, you can. Verse 10 is where we'll start. A few verses there. "For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts. And I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more." Are you glad this morning that God gave us that promise, that he will be our God and we will be his people, and that he will remember our iniquities no more? Sometimes it's good to reflect on our past life, the old life, and to remember that God does not remember that if we have repented and come to him. Revelation 3, verse 20. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set with the Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches." God's desire to fellowship with us. And you know, there's a path to that. There's a way to that. Jesus called it the narrow way, the narrow road. You know, most churches today in America will tell you that it's okay to use the easy road or take the easy route. The Bible calls that the broad way, though. And there's an argument made that God is a God of grace, and he really doesn't care about the details that much. And yet this book called the Bible is full of details. It is our roadmap. We need to look at the Word and study it and receive it. Much of the modern-day preaching is that God wants you to be happy. He doesn't want you to suffer like we saw in these pictures, these videos. And there's a falseness in that God just wants to bless you and make you happy and you can take the easy road. But Jesus said that broad is the way that leads to destruction, and narrow is the way that the road of life to life. And this is not to be critical, but it's just to share with you that is not the real truth. We need to be awake and alert and to think about God's purpose. How do we get this life, this eternal life? You know, those of us that are saved or born again, we know that it's through the new birth. It's through repentance and coming to Christ. Let's turn to John chapter 3. And look at some very familiar verses. John 3, verse 1. "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, We know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. We could read on, and I think I'll skip the rest of that, but in a few verses down in verse 16, for God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And that's the life we're talking about this morning. The life that only God can give. Did you know that John 3:16 was said to a Pharisee, to a single man, Nicodemus, at night? I never realized that till just a few years ago as I was reading. I realized that Nicodemus was the man that was said to. And it's interesting that when Jesus was crucified, that Pharisee was there. I believe that he had a true hunger, and my personal opinion is that he was born again. He understood at the end. I don't know that for sure, but why was he there when Jesus was crucified? I think he followed Jesus. But I want to talk a little bit about that flesh, that old life, before it was made new. You know, we marvel at how that a caterpillar that just crawls around and is kind of not so pretty. It just crawls around and really doesn't do very much. But then when it is changed into a butterfly, we all marvel at the beauty of a butterfly. And when that butterfly flies through the air, it has a complete new vantage point. I'm sure that butterfly sees everything from a different point of view and has a new life. And so it is when we are transformed by the renewing of our mind. Only God can work that miracle in a person. Has he done that for you? Have we been transformed by the renewing of our mind? If God hasn't done that yet in our lives, he wants to. He desires that more than anything in your life. Not just more knowledge or a better understanding, becoming smarter. Growing in knowledge is important, but without that life, the life of God in us, then we're still dead. Let's turn to Romans chapter 8. I want to get a few verses here in Romans chapter 8. A beautiful promise in verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Let's skip down to verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So they that are in the flesh cannot please God. You know, if our mind, if we have not received that new life in Christ and are not walking in that, then we cannot please God. It's impossible to please God. Then he says, then Paul goes on to say, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the life of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. You know, this morning, I just want to say, you and I either have the Spirit of Christ or we don't. You know, we can look so good. We can do things so right. We can accomplish so much. But here it says that if you don't have the Spirit of Christ in you, then you're none of his. I'll just leave it like that. And these are not my words, my brothers and sisters. These are God's words. You either have the Spirit of Christ or you don't. There are no half Christians. There's no such thing as being half born again. Sometimes we think so. Well, like, yeah, maybe. Kind of, almost. But we either have the Spirit of God or we don't. We must be born of the Spirit. Let's read on in verse 10. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. You don't owe the flesh anything. I don't owe my flesh anything. We're not a debtor to the flesh. But if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if through the Spirit do mortify or put to death the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Right there, that verse is the opposite of the negative one, where it says that if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, you are none of his. But, verse 14, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Are you a son or a daughter of God? Do you have this life that we're talking about? This life of God? And I believe I'm talking to a group of people. I just assume that you all do. I assume that you do, and that you probably believe I do. But we shouldn't assume. And even if we do, even if we have been born again, I look at some of you that are older than me, and I assume you've been a Christian for many, many years. But there is a battle. This flesh is still here, even though it's been crucified. The devil wants to raise it up. It wants to make it alive again. So we are in this battle. And I believe that the only thing that will bring us the victory is to live and to be near the cross, to stay near the cross. I know for me that's what I have to do, to take up my cross daily. And that's what I want to encourage you in, to take up your cross, to continue taking up your cross and allowing Jesus to live. Jesus said that if a kernel of wheat does not fall in the ground and die, it cannot bring forth fruit. It's the same way for us. If that old nature, if we're willing to let it die, to let Christ put it to death, then we can live. That's how we preserve life. To continue to walk in the Spirit. The moment that we allow our flesh or that old nature to take over again and to lead us, that new life will begin to die. Have you ever, if we're honest, have we ever walked in our journey, in our Christian journey, and lost sight of the goal? Have we ever struggled? Have we ever had the flesh overtake us, our fleshly desires and sin? If so, that's what I'm talking about this morning. I don't believe that we or that I understand in full what the old nature, the old flesh. And I know there's people that think once you're born again, when you were 14 years old, you're saved and you never struggle with the flesh again. Done. That's not my experience. And if that's yours, I would like to talk with you. But that old nature does want to rise up again. Sometimes it's when we're talking to our wife or to our husband or to our child, and we have to go back and apologize. Why is that? We have to say no to the old in order to say yes to the new. Let's look at a few things in the body of Christ or in the church. I want to look at some things that bring death to the body. Just something to think about and to take note of. You know, a lack of love in the church, a lack of loving each other, helping each other, like we heard here a little bit ago, that brings a death in a body. How about a bitter heart or a divisive heart? This is very defiling in the body of Christ. Or sin, living in the old nature instead of the new, will bring a death to the church. May we develop a godly hatred towards sin and toward that old nature, which is our worst enemy. Lasciviousness, lawlessness, doing things our own way, or no fear of God, just being careless. How about worldliness? Forgetting that we are not of this world, but we are of a heavenly kingdom. Having a renewed mind versus a worldly mindset. How about a religious or a Pharisee spirit, picking at details while missing the heart of God on a matter? The Bible says the letter killeth, but the spirit giveth life. You know, there's a ditch on each side of the road. We could comment more, but now let's look at a few things that bring life to a body, to a church. And you can keep going. I'm just giving you a few, but there are many things, of course. One of the things that I have found that give so much life in the body is new births. People getting saved. There's a little church group just south of us there in Montana that, and they're struggling. There's just some families meeting together, and they're trying to come together with a vision, and we'll just leave all that. But when I was asked to go there a week ago or 2 weeks ago, the brother that called me was so excited. They just had 4 converts, all in the same family. 3 brothers and 1 sister were all born again just very recently. And just the excitement in his voice, and just like, this is, I'm just so refreshed and reminded. And the whole church there is just, I don't know how else to say it, but it brings life. The life of God when people are being saved and born again. Humility and brokenness in a brotherhood. A love for the brotherhood. Our brother that was up here sharing just a little bit ago challenged us to continue doing this in your church, or however he put that. Helping each other, loving each other, serving one another, living out the fruits of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit. These all bring life to your church. In our marriages, do we live them out in our marriages, in our homes? Are we bringing life or are we bringing death? I don't think we can be neutral on these things. How about pastors being in the Word? I just thought of that this morning sitting here. You know, as he was talking about helping each other, I'm thinking, you know, you have Pastor Dave here and Jim, you have Weldon help doing a lot of the help work. But if you help and bless your leadership, your pastors, and make so they're not so busy, make sure they have time to be in the Word. That's scriptural. To spend time in the Word. it will bring life to your body in a deeper way. In Galatians, it says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would like to." And that's really what I'm talking about. The contrary, the conflict between the old and the new, life and what is death. He goes on there, Paul, he talks about that if we are led of the Spirit, then we are not under the law. He talks about the things of the flesh, about heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, all those things. He ends with saying, and such like. Those are the works of the flesh. And then he says, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Because such things bring death. They are death. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. If we've been born again, if we've had that experience, let's also walk in it. That's what he's saying. Let's continue on the journey of living in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. I so appreciated what our brother said this morning about there's no competition. We're not competitive in the kingdom, but all working together, all with the same goal. Not envy or jealousy. You know, if you've never brought your old nature to the cross, the good news of the gospel is that we can do so today. Repentance is a gift, and we can come to God with our need. Hebrews says, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace in help to help in time of need." Come boldly to Jesus with our needs. Or maybe y'all are living in the Spirit all the time, and you have no needs. God bless you if you do, all the time. Paul talked about not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. I was thinking this morning about that, something that Bert Clendenin preached that I remember hearing. I have it on my phone. I was going to bring it up here and read it. But he said that something about that when we have this life, when we're born again, you don't have to try to tell people to come to prayer meeting. If our nature has been made new, then our nature is to go where God is. That's our nature. So if people don't want to go where God is and you don't want to pray, maybe you have the wrong nature. But our nature is now in Christ. But many people try to make that old nature behave. It's the human nature to say, hey, we need to be Christians, so we need to be, you know, we need to be right with God. And the human nature is to just try to prop up that old nature and make him look better and behave better, make a whole bunch of rules. and then maybe he'll behave. And then it'll demand, that old nature will demand God to accept him just like he is. Because after all, I'm good too. There's many ways we try to avoid the cross. It's amazing. We try to avoid the cross and coming through the cross. Man has come up with all kinds of ideas to try to appease him and to control him, this old nature. If one rule doesn't work, we'll add a couple others. Or we want to appease him, so we'll take away the rules. Either way, we're avoiding the cross. Jesus said that if we don't take up our cross and follow him, we cannot be his disciples. Sometimes we make those things optional in our minds. How many times have I made the cross an option? Rather than looking at the word saying, Jesus said that if I, John, if I don't take up my cross and follow Jesus, I can't be his disciple. And I look back at the last 28 years of my Christian life since I've been born again, and I know that many, many times I've allowed the flesh to rule, that old nature. But my goal is, now that I'm older, is to stay near the cross. Don't wait till you're my age. So Christ can be manifested to those around us, to those in, so Christ can be manifested through us. You know, no matter where we are in life or what circumstances we face, the cross is essential if we're going to make it home. I love that song, "The Way of the Cross Leads Home." If we are going to walk in the light, if we're going to overcome the devil in this world, we will only do so by embracing our cross. This is the power of God. I think it was Paul that said that the preaching of the cross is foolishness to them that perish, but to us that are saved, it is the power of God. The preaching of the cross. I think we need to do that more. If it's the power of God, why aren't we preaching it more? The cross. Another thing that Bert said, I think it was him, that said, you know, birds don't need rules to fly. They just need life. It's a little bit that way in the Christian. We just need the life of God in us. If it's there, we'll fly. It'll work. We'll live right. We won't be asking all those questions and arguing for our flesh, right? We just need the life of God in us. That new man is so beautiful. That new man in Christ is such a beautiful thing. It's so opposite of the old. He becomes so open to Jesus and to his teachings. He loves the things of God and is just waiting for more teaching, more a deeper relationship with him. How can I please my heavenly Father yet more, he asks. Like the Apostle Paul, Lord, what would you have me to do? What do you want me to do? Instead of saying, how can I make myself happy? No, we don't say that, do we? But do we say that with our life? Do we want that, those rivers of living water? A simple surrender to Christ and then embracing or taking up our cross. Are we tired? Is somebody here this morning that's just tired of the battle? Just tired of the battle. The cross is still the answer. Jesus is the answer. That life. Are we ready to receive that life? Are we willing to put away anything that hinders that life, including our old selfish nature? You know, if we're willing, to do whatever it takes, then we'll do whatever it takes. Recently, there was a young man that came to us, and he made some confessions, and some confession of sin in his life. He was born again for a number of years, but he had drifted away and was living in the flesh again. And when he was done confessing his sins, he said, "Oh, and one more thing. I'm going to sell my truck. That thing's been such an idol to me, taken all my focus." To us, it was just a truck, but to him, it was an idol. But it's an example of what are we willing to do for life? Get rid of our idols. Recognize our idols first. Could easily have argued, well, then what am I going to drive? And I actually asked that question. They are two very different paths. I want to share a story yet, maybe several, if you don't give me grace. There's a young man from Michigan. I don't know him, but I know his father and his mother. And y'all can pray for them. But this man is about our age. And he left the Swiss Amish up there. I know that many of you have been praying for Michigan and that the group up there in southern Michigan that we call the Swiss Amish. And this man that I'm talking about, he left that group about 20 years ago, and he's been praying ever since that God would send somebody into that community to bring the gospel. And we met him while we were up there, and we've met him since. He was out in Montana at a wedding. And I'm not sure why I'm sharing this, but it's on my heart to share that he has a son that I think he was 20 or in his early 20s. And I just got a text like 2 nights ago that he committed suicide. And this couple dearly loves the Lord. I know they do. But their son chose a path that was not good. Now, I'd like to share another story of a couple that was in Montana, and I don't know this whole story. I'm just going to give you a real, like, in a nutshell, but they came to a church. A friend of mine is the pastor there, and they were searching, and some guy in prison said, "Well, I know where you can go to church," and pointed them to the right direction, or to my friend there. And they were having an anointing service. Maybe this will happen to Brother Jim today. They're having an anointing service. And then the pastor just opened it up afterwards. If there's anyone that needs prayer or has any need. And this couple came forward and said, "Yes, we would like to be saved." And so they had prayer for them, and there was a glorious salvation that came to their hearts. They were redeemed, and they were born again. And then I think it was a week later, I believe they were baptized or were going to be, but a week or so later, they were there again at the service, all excited still, and this new life that we're talking about. They had just received it. And that morning, he picked the song, "This World Is Not My Home." And then after church, they went on a family picnic, and he was an avid swimmer, I guess, and a diver. And he jumped off a cliff out into the lake, where many people did that. And for whatever reason, he landed wrong and was killed. But he had that life within him. He had just gotten saved. And that story really gripped me. I remember hearing my friend tell me about this couple that just got saved, and then a week later, we're sitting at our house and somebody says, did you know the story? He just died like yesterday or whatever. And in my heart, yeah, that's very sad. And at the same time, there's a joy to know that he had found his answer. He's found Christ. And so there are many choices that we make in life. I have a couple other stories here I was going to say, but I think I'll quit with that. But what we do with Christ, what we do with the cross matters. We don't know when our last day is. And I just pray that we will make a conscious choice, a decision to walk in the Spirit, to stay near Christ, to stay rooted and grounded in Him. And if we've fallen back, we can quickly repent. It's God's mercy. Repentance is not a bad thing. It's the mercy of God. And I just pray that that would be our heart and our desire this morning, that we would walk in the Spirit of Christ, staying near the cross, allowing the cross to do its work to that old one, that old man, that old nature, so that the new can actually live and that I can be the person that Christ has called us to be. Shall we pray? Father, we come to you at this hour. Lord, I know that maybe the word didn't all come through clear this morning, but Lord, I just pray that your Spirit came through clear. Your calling and your voice to our hearts has been made clear, that we are to live the very life of God, that your life can live through us and touch those around us. Lord, I pray that you'd bless this church, this body, with a spirit of humility and brokenness, a spirit of helping each other in love, that your love can flow through this body and continue to do its work. I sense that that is here and that's the heart here. But Lord, I just pray that it would be a reality and that brothers and sisters in Christ would grow. And as we love each other, the world around us can see that Jesus is here. You said, Lord, that by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, by the way we love each other. And so, Father, I pray that we'd be willing to get rid of or cast out any evil or anything that is an idol in our lives, any flesh, and that we would just come humbly to your throne of grace. And Lord, that we would just receive and walk in the Spirit of Christ for your glory, for your honor, so that others too may come into the fold and be truly born again. We love you, Lord. We worship you this morning. We thank you for who you are. Thank you for dying on that cross and being obedient and going to the cross. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I do want to also extend a welcome to any of you to come visit us in Montana when you get a chance. I know we say that often, but it is a blessing to be back and forth and to be connected with you all as a church. So God bless you, Brother Dave.